God is powerful.
No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor brightness will the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time.
The normal format, but what we're really trying to do is I'm asking you guys to help me teach this morning. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Instead of one long message this morning, we'll have a few short ones, and then we're going to sing songs that sort of reinforce the message. And so we're going to talk about the coming, living in the light is going to be our theme. You might recognize the theme of John being in this as well, because that's what we've been reading and studying. But what I really want to just pay attention to is the goodness of Jesus. That's really what our message is about. When Jesus is the light, in John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And really, as we think about Jesus, we spend some time thinking about his coming into the world and what that meant for the world, how the world changed to be so much better after him. If you think about what it means when Jesus' light first shone into your life, and how much better your life becomes when you have his warmth and his light in it. If we consider what it means to be in the darkness, some things the scriptures use to describe a life and a world without the light of Christ in it, it uses words such as burden, guilt, death, blind, deaf, separation, judgment, lost, debt, and enslaved. If we consider these things, how many of those things are good? How many of those things encourage? You know, you talk about having a burden on your shoulders, and we all know what that feels like, a burden of sin or a burden of obligation, a burden of something that you can't handle on your own. We consider guilt. You've done something that violates your conscience. What can you do to undo the wrong things you've done? Sometimes you can say something and you can never take those words back. And those words can hurt. Sometimes you act towards someone you even care about in a way that breaks their heart and things can't be undone. Death. They say in life, two things are certain, right? Death and taxes. Death is an unexplained thing without Christ. It's an unknown. It is something without hope without Christ. Jesus talked about those without the word being blind and deaf, unable to hear and unable to understand, so their heart could never change. Separation, when I think about this particular phrase, you think of the rich man and Lazarus and how they both died. And one was being comforted with Abraham and the other was separated from God. And his comment is, I am so thirsty. And he was so thirsty, a drop of water on the finger of someone seemed like relief. How often has one drop of water seemed like relief to you? As we consider these concepts that are associated with darkness, now let's consider the concepts associated with light. And really, they're the exact opposite. Blessings, forgiveness, life, sight, hearing, fellowship, mercy, salvation, redemption, and freedom. Think about the idea of sight, just sight. There's a scripture that talks about the eye being the lamp of the body, and if the eye is bad, then the whole body is dark. If you just close your eyes, this concept of being filled with light, if you close your eyes, it's just black. There's darkness. But when you open your eyes, the effect of seeing has, it almost feels like your whole body is full of light. It just gives you something that's just an incredible thing, if you think about it, is, and they would say, you're full of light. And just that one concept of the light of Jesus Christ coming into our life gives us sight, helps us to see the way things really are. We have redemption and freedom from sin. And if we consider all these things, and you consider what Jesus has truly done, when you turn your heart over to God, this is the contrast. Darkness and light. All these heavy, evil, hard things to all these great, good things. But it's not just when you turn your life over to Christ. Every single time you hear the word of Christ and you accept it, this is the result. This is the stark contrast. And you can do this your whole life. Everybody has things they need to fix about themselves. So let's consider what Malachi said in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2 about the coming of the Lord. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Think about the burden of sin. But when the Son of Righteousness comes, when the Lord comes, when Jesus enters into your life, I use this image because you can see the sun's rays coming out from the sun. That's that concept of the wings of the sun. It's the rays of the sun. And so I just want you to imagine what it was like. You hear the word of God and the light peeks up over the horizon and these rays of light just reach out and embrace you. And they heal you. And the feeling is so good. And that, you know, we have a lot of elderly people in our congregation. When was the last time you felt like skipping around like a calf? But the effect of the light of Jesus Christ on our lives has that effect. Someone I know says when they stand in the sun, I feel like God has given me a hug. And maybe that's a truer statement, and there's some wisdom in that. But that's what the Lord is like. So let's go ahead and sing together Healing in Its Wings, number 115.
Have this relationship with God. Jesus was based on our example of that. And in 8:29, that's what he says. He says, I've always done the thing so I can keep that relationship with God, because that's what's important. That is what we need to be doing. In John 8, in verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I have proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. If the one thing doing well in life is having a relationship with God, and that is our goal, one thing you would do is you would love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love God, you would love me. And so as we look at Jesus and we love him, we're also loving God. As we follow his ways and serve him, so that he might be pleased with us, so that we might be pleasing to him, so that we might have his goodness in our life, we are loving Christ and we are also loving God. But I want to consider one other aspect of what Jesus says. One other aspect of this concept of loving, if you love God, you love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you would also love those who have his characteristics, who have his qualities, who have his light in their life. Here's Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15. It talks about Jesus' attitude towards others and the way he loved others. Matthew 12, 15. But Jesus was aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them all, and warned them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. This one quality of Jesus that he shows us, and one of the qualities of Jesus. Now, I love this thing. He will not bend a bruised reed, and he will not put out a smoldering wick. This idea of Jesus' gentleness. If he sees a spark of light, he's going to try and bring that spark back to life, because he loves when he sees that fear of God in others. And that's one of the qualities we can have. Jesus says, I'm the light. Follow me. And Jesus was very tender, very patient, very loving. He treasured those who love God. A little spark of love for God, Jesus would nourish. And we need to be that way too. Our life doesn't just need to be full of light for ourselves, but it also needs to reflect the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus for God, and the love of Jesus for man. In John chapter 1, verse 14,
they had this white porcelain pot they would make. And it was a thin porcelain, kind of a fine thing. And some people wood. They were easily cracked when they were fired and easily cracked when handled. And some would take a white wax and cover the cracks with this white wax. So when you had the porcelain pot on the shelf or in the market, it looked fine. But when you held it up to the light, you would see the sunlight would shine through the wax, and you would see the flaw in this porcelain pot. This idea of exposing yourself to the light or being tested by the light is a concept of do you pass the test? Are you enough? And one of the challenges of coming to the Lord is you have to go through this testing by light. Are you enough? And what this light is going to do is expose your weakness. In John chapter 3 and verse 21, "But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." When you step out into the light, everything is exposed, all your flaws. And when you come to Christ, there's this exposure. And all of your flaws and all of your faults will no longer be concealed. They're going to be out in the open. And that is a very uncomfortable place to be. But that's what we're called to do as Christians, to step into the light, to test yourself. Let's find out if our deeds have been wrought or created in the Lord. And those things that haven't been created in the Lord, they need to be gotten rid of. If you've ever come out of a dark place and stepped into a very light place, there's that stark light feeling, right? You're just blasted in the eyes and you almost can't even focus your eyes. It can sometimes be blinding and hard. And sometimes exposing your life to the Word of God and to the light of Christ can be just that same way. However, there is such a great promise that comes along with it. The light will sometimes cause pain. It may cause revulsion. You may not like what you see about yourself. It may cause criticism, right? People will see where you fall short. People may say you're falling short. Definitely will make you vulnerable. You might experience a loss of control and realize what I'm doing doesn't work. I can't control this situation I'm in. You might feel exposure, embarrassment, rejection by some. Some people, when you try to change the wrong things in your life, they will not accept you with that change. So you may have to make some choices about those things. Some people may lose respect for you, and some people may disrespect you. All of those things are things that keep us in the darkness. These fears, these insecurities, this false sense of safety. But if you walk in the light, if you step out into the light, if you make that first courageous step and expose yourself to the light, what does the scripture say about that person? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." There's only one way to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and that's when you make that step out into the light. Yeah, but what about all those exposures? What about all that embarrassment? What about all the ways I fall short? When you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And the truth is, you're in the company of other people who have stepped out into the light and had their faults and their sins and their weaknesses exposed by God's Word and have tried to change them or are in the process of changing them. If a man says, "I do not sin," he's not speaking the truth. If a man says, "I have never sinned," he makes the Lord a liar. But if a man confesses his sins, the Lord is faithful to cleanse him of all unrighteousness. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing Walk With Me, number 665. Open your Bibles with me to Revelation 21. As we look at this, I just want to consider the why of walking in the light. You know, we are called to follow Jesus. We are called to have our sins forgiven, to come out of the darkness. And there are many blessings associated with that, fellowship with the Lord. But I want to see the result in our lives now, and the result in our lives we will fully realize when this life is over. So let's go ahead and look in Revelation chapter 21. I want to start reading in verse 22. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory of and honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets, on either side of the river, was a tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of light or a lamp, nor light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." As we consider the living in the light, and what is that going to be like? The idea of no nighttime, and no need for nighttime. We need nighttime to sleep and rest up, don't we? Paul Hawthorne once told me when he was young, this guy was full of energy, and he had read a book once that was some sci-fi novel about weaning yourself off of sleep. So he decided he was going to try and wean himself off of sleep, and it didn't go so well for him. We need sleep, we need rest, and we need nighttime in this life. But in heaven there will be no need for any of that. We'll be able to serve all the time because we'll have our strength and might will come from the Lord. We will be able to serve him all the time because there is only light there. There will be no need for sun or moon or any of these things because the Lord is going to be the light that guides us. But as we look at this beautiful picture of heaven, we read about this river of the water of life flowing from the throne of the Lamb. This big old tree that grows over the river that bears fruit every month of the year and it heals. This tree of life, you think of those things, but the truth is, that's in heaven right now waiting for us. We're already part of this kingdom. We're already in this kingdom. And Philippians, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. That's already where we're at. That's already our kingdom. We just need to walk in the light in this earth, just the light of God's Word and the light of Jesus Christ. And one day, we will just be transformed to our true home. And that is our hope. It says, they will serve me forever and ever. These words are faithful and true. As we consider these four things we talked about. The coming of the light, Jesus is the light, walking in the light, and living in the light. We see a call to salvation. We see this coming to the light, the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in its wings, this message of peace and truth and salvation and forgiveness that we can hear and we can believe. We look at Jesus who said, I am the light of the world. I am the one who's going to show you the way. And we look at our Lord and we confess Him as Lord. We confess Him as the Son of God who rose from the dead and who can keep all His promises. We also look at His example and realize not all of my deeds have been wrought in God, and I need to change. I need to repent. And we make that confession and we promise that repentance to whatever we are exposed to the light and we see that we need to change, we'll work on it. We'll do it. And then the Lord said, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And we are all called to baptism. That is the first step. When John says, when you walk in the light, the first step into the light is through the water of baptism, where we have our conscience cleaned from every stain. And then we are called to follow the light, to faithfully live in the light. And I would like to extend that invitation to all of you. If you've heard of the goodness of God and that promise, and you want that, the first step is baptism. But if you've realized you have strayed off into the darkness and you want to come back to the light, you want to have those burdens of darkness taken off your shoulders, I would also invite you to come forward at this time as we stand and sing the song of invitation.